Hi, my name is Georgia and I live in Bundaberg. Today's date is the 13th. And I'm speaking with my grandfather Malachi, and we're talking about his life. So, grandfather, can you tell me how family life begins in Tonga?
Yes, Xiaosha, the family life in Tonga is very interesting. We talk about how the mother had the baby. After the mother had the baby, she must not go out and do the normal work outside until the baby 3 to 4 weeks before the baby baptized. And after baptize the child, then you can go out and do what you're doing. What the mother normally do, they weave basket, they weave mat, and they make tapa. The tapa is made out of a tree, a little tree. I think the diameter of the tree will be about 40-45 millimeter diameter, and they beat that down. They got a log. A log is about, can sit about 4 or 5 people. And what did they do to this bark of the tree? They peel it from the tree, and they dry that in the sun. And then after a few weeks or few months, then when they decided to make the tapa, they take it up and soak it in the water. Leave it in the water for about 2 days, and then they come back and beat it. And they make a stick, is 4 corners, mm-hmm. and 3 corners is rough, one side is smooth, and the rough one you beat the materials. It doesn't call tapa till you have to fix it up to use for padding, use for any other thing. Anyway, when they beat it down, in a way, when you peel the bark of the tree, it's about 400 millimeter wide or 120. And you beat that one down to about 400 wide. Mm-hmm. And then put it out in the sun. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, then you paste them together. Paste them together in a big half log. Can sit about 25 people. And they paste it. They put something similar to the English potatoes, mm-hmm. and that's what they use to stick the material together. And they put what they call a pattern. They make up a pattern, this a tree or flowers or anything like that. And they paste that one on top of the half moon board. And as they put it, there's a tree. It's similar to what we call here. I forget the name of the tree. It's a nice smell tree. But in Tonga, they scratch the bark and they squeeze that, come up brown. And that brown stain liquid, that's what they base on the tapa. And if you look at the tapa, it's brown because of that type of thing. Okay, come back to the family then. And that's what the mother doing. That's all they do. Most of the time, sometimes they go fishing, but that's what they do. They weave mat, they make tapa, and look after the children. And that's how's the mother start to make to build up the family at home. She always look after the kids. See, that's all they do, to make sure the kids is well looked after. And help the father when we go to school or anything else she do. Sometimes we cut our lawn by cane knife. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the women come and sweep the creeping together. And we boys take it up, either we burn it or we put it as a mulch or thing like that.
So did your mother stay with all your brothers and sisters, or do you have help from your older sisters or other family members?
The father help a lot. The father help a lot to look after the children. Anything else to look after when they grow up. Oh, by the way, we only have midwife. That's the midwife delivered the baby. And the midwife in a little village of about 200 or 300 people, there's about 3 or 4 midwife there. And they the people who do the to help the mother to born the baby. Yes, and that's what the mother do, just to look after the kids. But then again, it's like every other country, some mother don't care about much about their children, but that is the normal way of life in Tonga. And the other thing I think I mentioned the other time, they help to weave the coconut leaves for the roof of the house.
So going back to tapa, how did you get the patterns that go on to
the
it?
Pattern? They in the coconut trees, they got, if you look at the coconut tree, there's a little thing in the coconut, is like a piece of tail. They put the coconut stick to make up the wave on that thing, and then paste that one on the half moon board. And in half moon board, or normally the tapa, when they do the tapa, is about 18 feet wide, and they can make it to about 50 meters, 80 meters. I think we better talk a yard those days, 80 yards, 50 yards in those days. Yeah.
So were there certain people that made the tapa?
Only the women. That's the women. Women grow the plant, and when we cut it and we peel it, then let the women do the rest of it from then on.
So were there certain jobs that women couldn't do?
No, there's nothing much they can do. That's all. See, there is a group. It's a group of women. They work together to do this type of work. They were a group of people, about 20, 30. They work together to make the mat or the tapa. And when we come to weave the coconut leaves for the roof, the neighbor could come and help you. Otherwise, it's on you and your mother and your father doing it. The children, I mean. Children, mother and father do it.
So was the clothing that people wear in Australia very different to what the clothing was worn to?
When I grow up, we wear shed. And we use a thing, it's called tupenu. It's just wrap over. And then if you tie it with a rope or tie it with something else, and that's how we wear clothes. We never wear clothes we never use the tapa as a clothes. We use it for bedding, for wedding, for funerals, and things like that.
So at your home in Tonga, did you only have one home while you lived there, or did you move from one house?
Yes, I think I did say once before this, my father got plenty of land. And there was a particular section, my brother, older than me, he called it, that's his. And he decided to build a house there. And that's the only Tongan house in our family's house. The other two is a wooden house, one very close to the sea, and one is close to the in the middle of the village. But this brother of mine, we built this one here for us, and that's where we sleep. Matter of fact, the father and mother like to sleep there better than the European house. Yes, or we like to live it there. This is another interesting thing. The floor, the dry coconut leaves,
yeah.
We build that together from the middle one of the leaves, and that's what we use. We Australia, we use a carpet and all this sort of thing. We use that to soften, and we build it up about 400 millimeter high, and as you walk, keep on down. Soon as you come down, it lasts. If you are a good people, look after your life, it lasts about 2 years, and then you take them all out and do it again. And we use the coconut leaves for another type of mat to put on top of it. And then on top of it, it's a really mat, the women wave. The door of our house, the coconut leaves.
Yeah.
We wave it both sides and use that to hang up the door, hang about 4 or 5 of them. and string them together. And when it's nighttime, we roll it up, put on top. And when it's nighttime, we roll it down and put it down. Some houses, some Tongan houses, is only wall up to the halfway, so the air can come in. But mostly we have to take right up because it's rain a lot in Tonga. And then we use the bamboo. Most of the houses make of the bamboo. We break the bamboo down and weave it for the outside wall. And there's another tree. It's very thin, about 10 millimeters thick. We use that for the outside of the wall.
So can you explain how the other ways you could fish, or the ways that you use the fish?
Yes, okay. We talk about octopus now. Mm-hmm. There is a way of look for the octopus on a low tide. And you go into a little hole, and as soon as you look at the hole and you said, no, there's no octopus there, then you go up to another hole, it should be one there. Sometime, we use a little rod, number 8 wire. Poke it in, you've got the octopus in there. One day I went with my grandfather for a swim, and we decided to go and fish, look for some octopus. Mm-hmm. What I did, look at my hand here. That is a eel, bite that one. Oh, sorry. A eel, bite. I put my hand in, here comes the eel, caught my finger. And that's the end of fishing that particular day. Yes, while we still on octopus, there is a belief in Tonga, the octopus and the mice, they don't have a good relationship. And that's why the mice says, the octopus used to be in the land, and the mice chased the octopus and how the octopus went to the sea. And how we want to get sometime, another way of getting the octopus, we make up a shell with a little tail, with a string hanging on top, and we hop in on our canoe, and we just shook the mice on the side. An octopus came up and cracked the mice. And that's one way we get the octopus. How we eat the octopus, we dry it in the sun sometime. And then if we want to boil it quickly, and we just cook it straight, boil it with coconut milk and cook it that way. That is how we fish octopus. There is another way we fish. We'll fish for the shark. We can fish in the shark around the village, but there is a special one we do. We always use a 32 feet long boat, and it's about 6 or 7 people go in there for fishing. They go about 80 miles away, and they decide that there's a captain. And what we do, did you know the coconut shell? We put that in a string back to back. And that's what they take it to shake to call the shark.
Yeah.
And then the women make a flower. And the fishermen took it with them. And they went, left tonight at about this afternoon, about 3 o'clock. They went off. The next morning, they arrived at the fishing spot. Then the captain came up with those shell. Mm-hmm. And shook it. And it used to be a story, there's a beautiful girl named Hina. And every girl is in Tonga, if you're beautiful, you call yourself Hina. Anyway, the fishermen called the shark, Hina, Hina. They called the shark Hina. Hina, Hina, come and get the flower. The people from the village make it for you. And then Hina come, just along the boat. Along the boat, and then you throw the flower. There is a little thing about it. Sometimes when you go fishing, some mother or some people said, when the fishermen come, we got more fish than you, we got more shark than you, and all that sort of thing. If that type of nonsense back to the village is happening, Hina won't go and bring any fish. But if everything calm, nicely and calm at home, Hina go and bring and many shark, 6, 7, 8, and all what we do, or the fishermen do, hit on the head, tie on the tail, put it on board. And up to the fisher, to the captain, it, how many shark are we going to take home? 8 or 9 or 10, then we go home, and that's how we got the shark.
So back in Tonga, is there any like a special time or a festival or something where the whole village would meet and
together? Our meeting, we meet twice a month. And the man in the village, they call himself the Officer Kolo. Officer Kolo, like the mayor here, but his Officer Kolo is a man who look after who share the meeting. When the meeting is on tomorrow, say, a man come up on the street and blow the shell and call out, it's a meeting at the hall tomorrow, so time, and that's so on. And that's we meet twice a month. Only the men. The woman doesn't come to the meeting. The women go to their own meeting. Yes, we meet twice a month. And we meet in the church. And we meet in the... we got five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. 4 big tank. And that hold a lot of water. If it's very dry weather, then because every home got their own water tank. But that is empty. We come and get water from this particular center water tank. And many only give you about 4 buckets or 3 buckets, whatever it is.
So were the tanks very far away from your house? Did you have to like
cut them? With the village, it's not a very big village. With 4 big tanks, we only walk about 100 meters, 200 meters at the most, yes. But I'll talk about that. We also get our water from well. In my island, in my village, it's not a very good well water in it. It's a bit salty. But the next 2 villages, they're very good. To go there and get this water, you take, you know, the 44-gallon drum?
Yeah.
You take that with you. There is some other way, the galvanized bucket. We take that to fill it up. Here's another good thing for you to know. When you fill up anything, bucket, tap, or drum, when you fill them up to the top, and if you cut it that long in the cart, they spill off. What we do, we throw leaves on top, and that leaves hold the water from spilling off. And we go to the next village. From my village to the next village is again about 150 or more than that, 200 meter to go there and get the water.
So were there any special like customs or things you did when it was a special like celebration, like a birthday?
Celebration, or... yes. Well, we talk about the thing is called kava, and that's our natural drinking. And we don't drink kava all the time. We drink kava when we go to a meeting and things like that. And the way we Tongan look for our girlfriend, the boys look for girlfriend, we come into the, say now, with your father, I come there, I'm a boy from the next in the village. I come in and knock the door. And I said, Mrs. Davies, can we come and drink kava with Josh? Who are you? I'm Malachi and so and so and so and so. If the mother finds somebody there, no, we don't want so and so and so. But say if we all good boys, we come in and drink kava. And you sit there. You sit in the middle and about 5 or 6 or 7 of us boys sitting down. And we drink, you don't drink, you serve the kava. And if one of the boys like you, then we all drop off one by one. And this boy here sit here and talk to you to be a girlfriend. Then she come and sneaks next door to you. And if you connected, then you stay there till daylight. But if you don't, the boy go home, you go home. Or the mother didn't like you to stay any longer than 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, they go, that's enough, sort of thing. But that's how we go out and look for our girlfriend.
That's
the celebration, only on the wedding. Only on the wedding and in our meetings and in the church too, because when you go to church, every minister or local preacher take the service on the day. Some family make a food for him. And after church, we go to to whoever make the things. About 10 or 11 men and women go up and have a meal there. And that's how, and then we drink over there too. But other from that, the celebration is the wedding. Somehow, I think I'm not telling a lie here. I never remember we having a birthday in Tonga in my days. Never. Which is, I still believe now, is a nonsense to celebrate birthday. I believe it's only to celebrate when up to 18, and that's it. And you only remember it every special month, the 21st, 40th, 50th, something like this. But to celebrate every year is a nonsense, to my belief.
So did you have any, like, music or musical instruments that...
Yes. We all, the Tongan people, they're very good on the brass band. Nearly every village, they got theirs. And they got a special man to come and teach. And the music, our music is not like what you got here. It's the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's a note. Da, 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 that's how it is. And we use the number as our note. And the Tongan are good singing people. When we go to church, we don't have a music to start anything. There is a man there who started the ministers tell us the hymn, and the man started, and we all follow it. We all sing openly. What other celebration are we doing? When we do a big, oh, there's another fishing I haven't mentioned to you. There is a type of fishing we call ao. And what they do, the village decided to give everybody, every home, to make a 50 yard of rope, a rope with wrap around with coconut leaves. And on the day of the fishing, all of the canoe, we go up to the sea and join them up. And we can cover about 4 miles. And then we tie them all up, and all the canoe going around, because as you drag it into the shore, some break, and then the men with the canoe, they join it up. And we bring many, many fish. And as we bring it in, we support about 400 yard long and 400 yard deep. Then the fisherman said, you can start fishing now. And you only go there and pick what you want. And when it's finished, let the rest of fish go.
So when you talk about canoes, did you buy them or did you make them?
No, you make your own canoe. One of the best trees to make canoe off is the mango trees. Mm-hmm. You cut it a log and dig the hollow inside. And then you know that where your sister named Kalia, that's the other part on the canoe. Mm-hmm. There's a little to balance the canoe, and that's what is called Kalia. And that's how you go out, and you got
paddle
them. Yeah, and you go up. That's another way of fishing. At night time, we put a light in the front of the canoe, and you believe it or not, you know the mallet. Mm-hmm. They just jump into the boat because they like the light. They jump in. And that's how we got, only us boys, because men in Tonga, all the people, they don't like eating mallet. Mallet is not a good fish in Tonga. We don't eat that much. But we boys, when we go out fishing, we got mallet. And we just come up on a night, light open fire and cook the mallet in there, we eat.
So did you have big, like, sports competitions and stuff, or did you just...
Only at the school. We don't have a village competition. Only the cricket, we play cricket and football in the local, in a different time. But at the school, yes, we got different sports. And then, do you know, when I went to school in 1946, my weight then is 12 stone and 3 pounds. 12 stone and 3 ounces. That's what I got now. In 50 years time, 80 years later, I'm still 80 kilo. I'm 80 kilo now. But how I know that, because you have to weigh before you play football. And that's what I found out in those days. I was 12 stone, 3 ounces.
So did you have a special place where everybody played sport, or did you just play wherever you wanted to?
At the school, yes, we got a special place. In the town, yes, we got a special place to play cricket and football. But other from that, the only other sport we play, just go on the pitch and run and all that sort of thing. We use a lot of horse racing on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We say how we do it because you can't fit a lot of horses on the pitch. You use about 8 horses. The first 8 horses run, then the next 8 and so on and so forth. And then the first and fourth have another semi-final and then went on like that.
So did you have to make your own football, or did you just the school gave you
one? In a school, high school, yes, we used a proper football. But at home, in the village, we used coconut. We used some big coconut for our football, yes. What the other activities we do in the island? There's a food, the vegetable we call yams. The yams that we dig, we dig it. Oh, before we come to that, remember I tell you the other time it's about we catch the whale?
Mm-hmm.
There's also another story. They believe the whales, the worms, and the whales and the mice, they were all land animals.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they decided, no, not the mice, the pig. The pig, the worms, and the whales. And they decide one day to have a fish, but nothing to cook. And they already dig the hole. And they said, we come and lay down in the hole. Whoever looks shoot for the with the hole, that's the one we're going to cook. The whale lie there. No, he's not shoot for the... The worm went there, no. The pig lie there. Oh, yes, you fit with the thing, we're going to cook you. And that is why the pig dig in the mud to look for the worms. And when we dig our yams, we cut the worms, and that's why the whales come up to Tonga. That's how we believe it. And that's how things go in Tonga. Okay, and when we dig the hole to plant the yam, we dig to about 12 millimeter deep, and then that's how we cook, how we plant that. In the end of the year, we got what you call a harvest, and we see who got the biggest, who got the tallest yam. And that is a good competition, yeah.
So did every family or every household have an umu where they cook?
Oh, yes,
food?
Yes. Every Sunday there's an umu. And other day, sometimes one or two at a time in the daytime. In my family, we eat a lot of fish. But if the weather is rough, or we go out to the sea, we don't get the type of fish we want. That's the only the time we cook a pig. We say we kill a pig twice a month for our family food. Yes, we cook every Sunday. And we get up in the morning, we boys get the umu, get ready, cook the bury the umu. Then we go to church. When we come back from the church, take it up and eat.
So is it just...
And before you ask that question, and another thing, we got six neighbor. And every Sunday, every home gave food, our own food, to our neighbor. So the neighbor gave us our food. So we all eat everyone else's food on Sunday. And the mother make a plate of food, I'll take it to my neighbor, make another one, give it to Kalia to take to another one. Same thing to the other people, they send their kids with the food. Yes, and that's how we our friendship with our people in the island. All right, I think that's the time for me to ask you a question. Now you asked, you'll be in high school next year, aren't you?
Yeah.
And are you thinking to go to visit Tonga sometime?
I would like to go because I would like to see where you grew up and like how it's different, because I would just love to go there just to experience another culture, because really I haven't gone anywhere besides in Australia. So it's, I think it would be very different to what I have here. So I think it would be really good to just go and see how other kids do and what they do every day compared to what I do.
Did you know your mum and dad went there for their honeymoon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they've, you have to ask them, they really enjoy it. I believe they really enjoy their days over there. Yeah, what else you want to, what else you do after you finish school?
I really don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
No.
Yeah. And what, have you got anything at all in mind to know? Okay. What else you want to know about? How you like your grandparents?
A lot, yeah. So what? Now I know how to use, well, how the Tongan feast works and how we use the umu. Do you think that you will want me to keep going with it and keeping your culture going onto my family and all the other?
Oh, yes, yes, I like to. The umu is something I can't get away with, because I at the moment, there's quite a lot of my friends, I did promise them they help me or they give me something, I promised them to, will get one day a umu for them. Yes, it's something I never forget.
So do you want other people to know how to use it so your culture sort of comes over to Australia?
Well, my three boys are very good on it now. And I think your father and your mother, they know how to do it also. Yes, yes, there's quite a lot of people in the Rotary and the Lions. They try, I'll tell you a little story. One man, he decided after he came to mine, one of our Lions men, and he decided they used to do diving for something. And they went to one island on the other side of the river at Bernard Head. They went there for their diving thing, and he thought he'll cook a Tongan fish for them. I was playing golf on that particular day. All of a sudden, he came down and he said, "Malakai, come and help us. We can't finish the cooking." So I left the golf and I went up and finished cooking for them. See, some people, they only look. They never help me to do it, and they think they can do it. It's a technique about how to cook food underground.
So yeah. Did you learn how to use the umu from your father?
You grow up with it, you see how it's done. And yes, we use the volcano rock from the sea for the rock. And I got at home here, I got plenty dead tree at the back, cut it for my firewood, yes.
So how much food would you use for your family? Like, would you put in all the food that you grow into your umu, or only specific stuff?
Yes, now there's only thing going into umu, yes, yes. We also make a pudding. We make our own pudding, it's called faikakai. All the Tongani make it out of different things, make out of the taro, make out of breadfruit, make out of tapioca and flowers and all that sort of thing. Your grandmother is very good making faikakai, yes, and then they used to cook the coconut milk for our kalmol, and that's very good.
So did only the women make whakakai, or anybody made it?
Any?
Did only the women make whakakai?
Oh, no, the women don't make whakakai. No,
men.
The men do it, yes, the men do it.
Is there a reason why women wouldn't make it, or is it just a tradition?
Any?
Why women wouldn't make whakakai?
If they want to do it, some family, they got the women to do it, but our family, they got some other thing to do. We boys do all the work for cooking and all that sort of thing, yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much for telling me again about how your life was, and it has been great to find out more about it.
The other thing I like to tell you about remember I didn't go to high school till I was 16. When I was with the minister, one day I was with the minister, and we went to do this thing, and I fell down. When I unconscious, the thing is this, when you go into the well, there is a coconut tree is bent into the pathway. And I think I must have hit that one. Because after about 3 weeks after my fall, I got fever. So I went back home to the father. And I was there for about 4 weeks in bed. One day the father noticed in the morning, my temperature is high, and the afternoon is low. The next day is low in the morning and high in the afternoon. Mm. And he said, I think this boy got fracture. He got broken bone. So we got a man in the village. It's a someone. They can fix a broken bone. Went up to him, and he looked around, and he fell around, and he said, ooh, I can't fix it. He got 3 ribs broken in the front and 3 at the back. So I can't handle it. So I tell you, I was like a little piece of stick. I was thin as thin. It could be this is half ear on that when I was 12. And then went through the whole of my 13 years old. It take a whole year for this fella to fix my bone. My medicine is the sea oak tree, the bark. Yeah. That's what I drink every day. Unfortunately, I'll have to tell you that I have to bring it out every time I drink it. And according to him, to bring out the badness from my broken bone. And it took me whole year. Then I go back to school on 45, and 46 I went back to high school. At primary school, 45, and high school at 46.
So did the Samoan who tried to fix your broken bones, was he a doctor? Or
No, they're not doctor. They just got massaging around. I tell you another story. While I was with this man to fix my broken bone, another man came in there, and he got a broken foot. And he went to the garden with his little daughter, and there was a dead coconut tree. And he looked from a distance, the tree is falling down. And he ran up to pick the girl, and he picked the girl, the tree come down and break his leg. Mm. And this man fixed the broken leg too. No, they're not a doctor. They only good to fix bone, broken bone.
I would like to thank you for telling me again about your experience, and it has been wonderful to find out more about it.
That's very good, yes. Good on you, Joshua.